Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Many of you probably don't remember the name of Nikolai Gavanovich Bukhanidze. I don't even know if I pronounced it right. But during the day, he was as powerful a man as there was on earth. He was a Russian communist leader, and he took part in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. He was editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, which ironically, by the way, means truth. And he was a full member of the Politburo, which was the Russian governing body. His works on economics and political science are still read today and are still taught in many universities. And there was a story that has been told many, many times about a journey that he took from Moscow to Kiev back in 1930. And he took this journey to address an assembly on the subject of atheism. Addressing the crowd, he aimed his heavy artillery particularly at Christianity, hurling insult and argument and proof against it and battered it. For over an hour, he railed against that religion. And finally, he was finished. He looked out at what seemed to him to be the smoldering ashes of this dissembled men's faith. "Are there any questions?" he asked. Deafening Silence filled the auditorium. But one man stood up. He surveyed the crowd, walked up to the communist leader and mounted the lectern. Finally, he turned to everybody in the auditorium and he shouted that ancient greeting that was known very well in the Russian Orthodox Church. He turned to them and said, "Christ is risen." And in mass, they replied the response that came crashing down, and their response was, "He is risen indeed." I say to you this morning, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I am convinced, and I know there are many people in our society today that have struggles and doubts when it comes to this morning and the events that took place. But I am convinced, I have absolutely no doubt, that the truth of the resurrection is as real as anything that we can see in terms of sunrise tomorrow morning. He rose from the dead and He will come again in glory. Now this is Easter. And to stand here on this day and in this pulpit and to proclaim the world is an honor and a blessing for me. But many of you, and I understand this, may rightfully say and question, "Kyle, how do you know? How do you know that the resurrection actually occurred? Why do you believe it's real? How do you know it's valid?" So I want to offer three things that for me are the absolute standing stones as to why I know that the resurrection is real. The first I would say why I believe in the resurrection is because somebody told me about it. Well, some of you may immediately reply, "Well, that certainly isn't very reliable." I mean, we've seen the commercials on the internet, right, in our French model. Well, it may not be the truth, but the matter of it is we know about a lot of things because people have told us. Let me ask you this. How do you know that Columbus discovered America in 1492? I don't think any of you were there. You weren't. But people who witnessed it and wrote about it and others have told you about it, and that's how you know. How do you know that man has walked on the moon? You weren't there. You say, "Well, I know it because I saw it on TV." There are people to this day who insist that it was all done on a fake TV set, a studio down in Hollywood. Many of them would insist that the International Space Station is still a hoax. It may sound absurd, but the truth of the matter is, I cannot prove it in a way, either way, for neither of you, but in the end, I have to say, I believe that a man walked on the moon simply because a lot of people have told me about it. And we have far more historical proof of the resurrection than we do of thousands of pieces of information that we very often accept as fact every day. If we're going to take a stand on something, then why not take the historic testimony of countless people through the ages who have declared the validity of the resurrection? I promise you this. I promise you, the Jewish authorities searched high and low on that first day of the week. When word came to them that the tomb was empty, I promise you, they searched everywhere they could. And if they could have found the body, they would have produced it. It was essential to them that they find that body, and they could not. Why? Because Christ wasn't in a tomb. He wasn't in a grave. Christ was resurrected and alive. When Mary went to that tomb on that first Easter morning, she went with very understandably a very heavy heart. Her master, her teacher, her friend had passed away in one of the most gruesome ways that we can imagine. All of her life now and all the things that she believed in was in somewhat in doubt and turmoil. She stood at the entrance to that tomb weeping. And then she meets the gardener. And the gardener calls her by name, Mary. Can you imagine the look in her eyes as she turns and looks into his eyes? Do you remember what she said, what Jim read? The joy of that first Easter can be found in her one word response, Rabboni. She yells, teacher. Now I want you to listen to the next thing that Jesus tells Mary, because it is the job description of the church. He tells her, go to my brothers and tell them. My friends, I believe in the resurrection of Christ because somebody told me about it. But the truth is, I don't believe we ever have more proof than the testimony of those first century witnesses. There's no photographs. We don't have any video recordings. There's nothing on YouTube. But we do know, because over 2,000 years, that story has stayed the same. The second reason why I believe in the resurrection is that it has stood the test of time. You know, a lot of things start off great and they kind of fizzle out, don't they? I remember a basketball team by the name of the Chicago Bulls. The things that I used to watch Michael Jordan accomplish on the floor of that United Center was just incredible to me. It was the kind of talent that sports journalists just love to write about. And during the 90s, he eclipsed all other athletes. And then in 2000 came Tiger Woods. He won 4 major titles in a row in between 2000 and 2001. And let me tell you something. These athletes and these singers and these actors that are catapulted to the national spotlight, but soon their star fades. Either because memories of them kind of fade over time or they tarnish their own reputation. Fame fades and new fads and fashions emerge. It's acceptable business by our music industry. Songs come and go so fast that sometimes we barely have time to learn them before another one comes in. But take that song, Amazing Grace. Now that's a song that has stood the test of time. John Newton, as you know, is an infamous British slave trader, and he was converted by John Wesley and subsequently renounced the slave trading and wrote this great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I am now found, was blind, but now I see. Your great grandparents sang that song, and long after you and I are gone, people will still be singing that song. Why? Because it's the real thing. It has stood the test of time. The resurrection is not something that was here today and gone tomorrow. As long as life is on earth, there will be people that will continue to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has stood the test of time. Thirdly, I believe in the resurrection because I have experienced it. The first century disciples did not believe in the resurrection simply because they could explain it. They believed in the resurrection because they had experienced it. One whom they had known in the flesh and had seen die was now alive and walking among them. And I think the best proof of the resurrection is not what the witnesses said that they saw. The best proof is in what they did. A frightened band of disciples huddled together in a house with the door locked. That's the scene before they see the risen Lord. And what do we see afterwards? A powerful band of mighty witnesses who come out into the world. It's estimated by the time of the end of the first century, over 500,000 people had come under the Christian banner. That is the power of the resurrection. You know, it's never easy to disregard the testimony of witnesses who are ready to die for their words. And eventually, each of those disciples met a violent death. I've seen people lie to perpetuate a myth, but I have never met anyone that was going to die to perpetuate what they knew was false. Maybe one, but I haven't met many. Maybe one of those disciples could have done it, but not two or three and not all 12. They were not men who had a death wish. They knew what they had seen. They believed in it so passionately that they were willing to put their lives on the line in their efforts to tell the story to others. They were resurrection people. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have died to sin and have been raised with him." And that's what I'm talking about. The resurrection is indeed an historical event, but it must become more than that to us. It's quite apart from the Battle of Waterloo and man's landing on the moon. The resurrection continues to this day. It is an ongoing event in each and every person. It's an event that's shared by every generation. More than that, it is an event that you are asked and invited to participate in. We are all to become resurrection people. It will be then that we each echo the words of Paul to the Philippians, "All I care to know is Christ and the power of this resurrection." I don't know, many of you may know this old saying. It's one of the things I loved about my grandfather was he had a ton of these old country sayings. And he used to tell me, "Kyle, you remember the only difference between a grave and a rut is the dimensions." To me, it was a folksy way of saying that the resurrection is just not for the afterlife. It's also for this life here and now. Don't get in a rut and miss the impact of the resurrection. It is the power for the living in these days that we have. My brothers and sisters, my good friends, my family, we can sing the great songs of Easter. We can hear again the familiar stories of Scripture. We can enjoy the beautiful lilies. We can listen to the Hallelujah chorus. Easter can be experienced in all of these ways. But the real power of Easter is in the way that people's lives are moved from death to life, from sealed tomb to open doorway, from despair to hope, from the old ways to new opportunities. That's Easter. That's resurrection. I believe in the resurrection because I have seen the God of the resurrection at work. I have seen the risen Christ raise people from the death of despair to the joy of a new life. That's Easter. The risen Lord continues to come back to each and every one of us and assures us, as he did the disciples, that we are forgiven. Remember, Paul had denied the Lord 3 times. Thomas had doubted. All the disciples had run and forsaken him. And Christ came back, forgave them, and resurrected them. He came to share with them, and he comes to us today, this morning, to share with each of you the joy and the encouragement and the forgiveness that is Easter. These men changed from scared men who are afraid to be outside of a locked door to men who preached in public, in front of their enemies, men who were willing to go out, proclaim what they knew was to be true, men willing to die for what they had experienced, men who really worked to carry a message that would impact millions and millions later on. Where else in the history of the world has that occurred? Why do I believe in the resurrection? I believe in it because somebody told me about it. I believe in it because it has stood the test of time. But supremely and most importantly, I believe in it because I have seen it in the life of others and I've experienced it myself. It is why I can stand in front of you this morning with all the joy and love pronounced to you. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen and amen.